Conventional orthognathic surgery for skeletal class 3 cases typically involves 3 orthodontic treatment steps. Initially, a pre-surgical dental decompensation is performed, which usually consists of a proclination of the often retroclined mandibular incisors and a retraction of the maxillary incisors if extractions have been performed. Next, immediately after the surgical procedure, the dentition is fixated during healing, and fixation is followed by a post-surgical finishing phase. Another recently introduced potential option is the surgery-first approach. In this approach, surgery is performed without or with only limited pre-surgical orthodontic treatment. This technique has been purported to potentially shorten total treatment time and to eliminate the temporary anesthetic profile changes that result from orthodontic dental decompensations prior to surgery. Does this approach in class 3 orthognathic surgical cases shorten treatment time? An article written by Li Yang and colleagues from Sun Yat-sen University in China examines this question. The paper was published in the Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeries in Press 2017 issue and is titled, Does the Surgery-First Approach Produce Better Outcomes in Orthognathic Surgery? A Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. The authors assess the current literature by searching the PubMed and Web of Science databases from 2001 through 2016 for studies that compared the surgery-first approach with conventional approach orthognathic surgery. A systematic review and cumulative meta-analysis of all identified studies was then performed by 2 independent investigators to compare the surgery-first and conventional treatment approaches. The recorded outcomes included total and post-surgical treatment duration, the types of surgical movements, post-operative occlusion, and relapse. 10 retrospective studies with 513 Class 3 patients were included in this review. None of the selected studies was a randomized control trial, and the included studies were generally judged to be of low quality. The surgical approaches included both two-jaw and mandibular-only procedures. After their review, the investigators reported that relapse of the mandible and maxilla was not significantly different between the surgery-first and the conventional approach groups. The surgery-first group had a mean 17-month total treatment time, which was a mean 5.25 months shorter than the conventional group's mean total treatment time. The post-surgical orthodontic treatment time was significantly shorter in the conventional group as compared to the surgery-first group by a mean 8 months. No significant differences were found in the surgical movements of the mandible and maxilla between the groups. Assessments of the achieved post-operative occlusion and the reported quality of life levels were limited in the reviewed studies. The authors concluded that the surgery-first approach may offer a shorter total treatment time in Class 3 non-extraction surgical subjects than with the conventional approach. But the surgery-first approach has a typically longer post-surgical orthodontic treatment time when compared to conventional subjects. The authors recognized that large, well-designed, random control trials are lacking and would be necessary to help clarify the advantages and disadvantages of the surgery-first approach. I also look forward to long-term studies assessing post-treatment occlusion and stability to establish the clinical significance of any differences that are found between the two surgical approaches. A 2013 article by Kim in the Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery reported that when extractions are part of the orthodontic treatment plan, the surgery-first total treatment time apparently is not reduced, but tends to be longer than in conventional approach subjects. The Kim article also described less stable results in the surgery-first group, in extraction cases. Another recent paper of interest is a Pilo et al. Article published in the 2017 AJODO reporting that orthognathic surgery improved the patient's self-assessment quality of life to a similar level in both conventional and surgery first groups after surgery completion, and that the conventional group had a decrease in their reported quality of life during the decompensation phase of treatment. If you're interested in reviewing the complete article, it can be found in the InPress 2017 Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery.